Ephesians chapter 6. I won't have you stand if you can stay awake. Well, the brother said it's all my fault. I'm the one that served up and carved up the turkey. It's my house that's responsible for that tryptophan that's working on you. But be strong in the Lord and the power of His might and resist it. All right? Oh, it's good to see each one of you and thankful the way the Lord's blessed us today. And just pray that he'll bless with his word. We might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, we've been, as the apostle here in verse number 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so we took a look about that some last time, and the Lord's, the scripture's got something that it's heading towards in this. We need to be strong in the Lord. We need to be strong in him, not ourselves. We have no ability in and of ourselves. The Lord's got the power. There's no other God beside Him. And I mentioned last time as we closed in considering this, in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13, the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And the apostle said that as he speaks to the church there at Philippi. And regarding their situation. And so we need to remember that. That's our answer to this command. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And he talks about the armor, the whole armor of God, which we're going to get to that. He tells about our fighting and our wrestling and that we have. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that this afternoon. Here in this passage, and putting on the whole armor of God, verse number 11. There's a reason for that. The passage that the Lord gives us here in verse number 10, thank the Lord, He just doesn't tell us that and then leaves us there, huh? Because, I mean, He'd say, okay, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And then come on down to verse 19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me. Aren't you glad what's in between there is in between there? Because it speaks to us about how we are to be helped to do so. The Lord is wonderful that way. He gives us a command, and with the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, He tells us how we may be able to do so. We do it in Him. It will take the armor of the Lord. The Lord has prepared this for us. He doesn't leave us with a command to be strong and then just leaves us hanging there. But He does give a practical explanation of how we can do so. Put on the whole armor of God, verse 11. You know, there is an armor to put on, okay, by that statement. And the provision of armor by the Lord to us indicates that there's going to be warfare and battles, doesn't it? I mean, would the Lord just idly give us something just because? Okay, and well, not in the context of this passage, we would understand that it's for a reason. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There is a provision of this armor. It does indicate warfare and battles. It does indicate that there's a need for protection. Armor, there's aspects of armor that is offensive, right? And there's aspects of armor, namely, that are defensive, correct? And so we're going to take a look at that as we go. Now, this armor is not the armor of men, right? Men have adorned armor through antiquity and through history, right, to conquer and dominate. Consider that. The armor that is of men has been donned by soldiers, put on by soldiers for the sake of conquering and dominating, okay? But we are given this command to stand. Stand and have our light shine. Stand to be salt. Stand to be light in this lost and dying world. And so the command of the Lord, you know, I wonder about the song, Onward Christian Soldiers Marching as to War. Well, the scripture doesn't so much say that as going forth to conquer. I know that the Protestants and the Catholics that fought in the Crusades and stuff like that, they would like that kind of approach. They thought that they could conquer the Middle East for the sake of the Lord. And it's not this. The Lord hasn't given it in the age of His church hasn't given any such command. We are to go forth with the gospel, but we're to stand a position, and having done all to stand, as we know the passage goes on to say. So it's not armor that like men would take to conquer and dominate, but this is the armor of God. It's holy armor provided to the children of God, which live and stand and are to do so until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back for us. We're to stand. Stand in this armor. Well, it lists why. Why should we have this armor? Why put on the armor of God? There are reasons for us to do so. And we indeed, as the Lord's people, we need to put on this armor. It's not a suggestion. Okay? It's not a suggestion. These aren't some strong points that if it works out for you, go ahead and adapt them. But we're commanded to put this on. We're told to put it on. And, Brother Stephen in his Sunday school lesson, on apologetics or being able to give a reason, be able to give an answer, be able to give a defense on why we believe what we believe and the truth of God's word and such, we need to be equipped. This armor is speaking some about that. We don't need to be a lazy people for the Lord, but we need to be a busy, diligent people. We need to put this armor on, and it requires action and pursuit on our part to do so. And somebody else can't put your armor on for you. You've got to put your own armor on. You've got to take it to heart. I've got to take it to heart. We've got to bring it to ourselves and hear the word of the Lord speaking to us. A child of God can be lazy and only partially equipped with God's armor. But you know what? Being partially equipped with the armor of the Lord very well may result as a the result of that very well may be a casualty on the battlefield. Amen? Think about that. Right? If a soldier goes out ill-equipped, then it may cost them their life or may cost them injury. Well, we as the children of God, if we are ill-equipped or partially equipped, we may end up being injured there or even a casualty on the battlefield of life, indeed. Verses 11, and let's see here, in verse 11 it says, put on the whole armor of God. In verse number 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Take it unto us. It is the whole armor. All the armor provided us by the Lord is necessary. There's no optional parts. There's not one extra piece. Okay, you hear that? There's not extra armor. There's not one piece of it that's extra. It all meets the bill and suits the purpose for which the Lord has designed it. And all of it is necessary. There's no pieces that really have even a duplicate purpose. Maybe that point could be argued, but as we consider these pieces of armor, I would challenge to be that no piece of armor can do the same thing that another piece of armor can do. They all have their purpose and their place, okay? And so we need to keep our eyes and ears open for that. The Lord has issued this armor, and we need to understand the purpose for it and the necessity of every piece. Otherwise, if we don't understand the purpose and we don't understand the necessity, we won't think that it's worthwhile to take to us and to put it on. Okay, so, so much in a short passage of Scripture, but the Lord has provided this for us, and may God help us that we wouldn't be casualties on the battlefield. The Lord's not looking to load us down. Does the Lord look to load us down? No, He doesn't look to load us down, does He? No, but He desires and has made such to prepare us to stand for Him, stand in His truth, stand in the battles we face and the warfare that we face in this life. You know, the whole armor of God is not like Saul's armor was to David. You remember that? Let's take a look at that. 1 Samuel 17. Take a look over here. 1 Samuel 17. Stay awake on me, okay? I'll give you, there's a better deal nap-wise waiting for you at your recliner, okay, than that pew, okay? So hang in there with me. May the Lord speak to us and help us with some good things. And then you can take a real good nap when you get to that recliner, okay? Here, remember how it was with Saul's armor that he tried to equip David with? There in Samuel 17, let's read verse number 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. David had never practiced in them. He'd never fought in them. He'd never gone through the moves, all the moves that he would go through in wielding a sword or dealing with a sling or shooting the bow or whatever it is that David, however it was that David could fight. We know the account that he's going to go after David after Goliath with a sling. And he said, I've not proved these. And the picture I have in my mind, always have, I don't know if it's so or not, but I always see David being a man of short stature, all right? Remember how it was with Saul? How was it with Saul? He stood a head above in height than everybody else. And so even if David was an average size Israelite, Saul's armor wouldn't fit him. So I kind of envision David he's there going back and forth and the helmet sliding back and forth. And then he's got that coat of mail, you know, and it comes down to well below his knees. And then he's got that shield on and that breastplate on and it's big, you know. And if he tried to get up his sling, he would just rattle, 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 you know, it didn't fit him. And it wasn't suitable for him. You know, the armor that the Lord has provided for us, it fits. You know, it'll fit just right. And like I said earlier, nobody can suit you up. You can't suit anybody else up. But when we're suited up individually by the Lord with the Lord's armor, it'll fit just right. And boy, it'll work too. Because why? It's the Lord's armor. It's the whole armor of God. Yeah, isn't that interesting? It doesn't say take on the armor of the saints, but it's the whole armor of God. It's what He's provided. And so I hope that we can are helped by that. There are reasons the Lord has provided this armor, and we will do well to heed the command of the Lord to suit up with His armor. In verse number 11, back in Ephesians chapter 6, I read it. Let's read it again here. Two reasons why we're to suit up, okay, and put on the whole armor of God. In verse number 11 of Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God, reason number one, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of Satan. He desires us to stand. He knows that the devil is wily and that he desires men, women, boys, and girls to fall into and pursue sin. Satan tempts mankind, men, women, boys, and girls, saved and not saved, to sin, wickedness against God. That's what he does. He's in control of the media. He's in control of those that are in power in the world, as we pointed out some this morning. He's in control of the programming. He's in control of technology. Not that technology in and of itself is evil, but the uses of it. Okay, and he sins. We got the depravity of man working on this earth, and man left to himself just invents a bunch of wicked stuff, and then we've got Satan over there whispering in men's ears, possessing men to do wicked things, and then just sin and wickedness against God is just propagated. It's a battle out there. It's a war out there. It is. You think about just turning on the TV and listening to about any channel all day long. There'll be something there that'll come across that'll be 100% against God and sinful and wicked against God. There will be. And so the Lord knows that the devil is wily. You know, if it wasn't for the Word of God and the truth of God's Word, and none of us are bulletproof to these things, okay? Let us not ever think that we've arrived and we're super Christians. We're not. We can all be tempted. We can all, as we saw Wednesday night, don't go over there and even flirt with it. Don't flirt with the wicked. Don't flirt with their way. Don't even go over there to where you can see the door of their house, is what the scripture said. Don't even go over there to where you can see the beginning of that path, because we'll look at it, and we'll look at it, and we'll step a little bit closer, and we'll think it looks better, and we'll deceive ourselves. Next thing you know, we'll be on the path. And it slip up on us, and our family like that. Like that. Before we even know. He is wily. He knows how to tempt us. The wiles of Satan are his methods and his tricks. And he will use and invent many, many methods and tricks to tempt men to sin against their Creator. He'll do it, won't he? Listen to this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Now see, if you are ignorant of his devices, then we'll be subject to be sucked right in. We can have the thinking of the world and thinking of Satan and the philosophy of man just come right in on us and not even realize. Not even realize. And we don't need to go learn about those ways, but we know that he has many, and we don't need to be ignorant in the sense that we don't know what he can do. You know what? Satan tempts us. Satan tempts you. Satan tempts me. And I chase after that sin. Can I lay it at Satan's feet? Don't ever take the position. I heard a man say, well, the devil just got in me. Devil got in you. No, you decided to follow after the wickedness. Whoever, whether you conjured it up yourself or it was the deception of Satan that came along and that you sucked up to yourself, that man sinned. I sin. You sin when we go that way, and it's ours. I can't lay that on anybody else, not even on Satan. The devil made me do it. That's a big lie. That's a big lie. Satan may have tempted you and I to do it, but we did it. We're responsible before God. And don't ever lay that on Satan. And sure, don't lay it on the Lord. Because the Lord doesn't tempt men to wickedness. As I mentioned Wednesday, the Lord may test us. He may test us to obedience. The Lord help us so we wouldn't disobey. Okay? But the Lord never tempts with evil. He never tempts with unto wickedness and sin. He has many methods and tricks. We're not ignorant of his devices. It says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." That's not talking to the unsaved. That's talking to us. Satan was, in a sense, our friend before we were saved. Our adversary at that point, before we were saved, was the Lord. If I'd have died in my sins, you know, from the human standpoint, my adversary was God, because I'd sinned against him and was unrepentant and rebellious. But after the Lord saved me, things changed, and Satan became our adversary. And you know what? He wants to compromise us in our witness and our testimony in our life. Satan still yet desires and works to tear down the good blessing of God in our lives to bring reproach and blasphemy on the name of our Savior and God. He desires that. A roaring lion. You think about a roaring lion being turned loose in here. What if we opened the door and a roaring lion came out right there? I guarantee you, you're going to be jumping over the pews and running for that corner. Nobody's going to run up here, are they? No. And the slowest one in the house is going to be in trouble, aren't they? You know, heard that thing about the bear and the two guys that went camping? And they heard the bear outside in the tent, and the guy's putting on his tennis shoes, and he said, "What do you think? You think you can outrun that bear?" He said, "No, I don't have to outrun the bear. I just got to outrun you." You know, I mean, a roaring lion, and especially if he was hungry, I mean, he could get several of us before we could get out of here. Well, he could jump from there plumb over to here. Talk to Cecil and Mary. They got stuck out in that big animal, that big park over in South Africa with a pride of lions, spent the night. And they said, the way they roar in the zoo is nothing the way they roar in the wild. See, it's easy for us, we get self-confident about how we think we can fight Satan off. We think we get wise in our own conceits about, well, this is allowable, I'm justified in this, this would be okay because of this, this, and this. And the next thing you know, we're had before we even know it. And our life or our family or otherwise is destroyed. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Isn't that what the Lord did? When Satan came to tempt him there in the desert after he'd fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, what did the Lord do? He answered him with the Word of God, didn't he? And the Lord, he answered him with the Word of God. That's the quintessential, the prime example of resisting Satan is with what God says. God says this. You say that, but God says this. We got to have that Word in us so we can be able to repeat it, don't we? Who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know, we run into folks, and of course our own life is the most important to us. That's the way we are. Our own skin and the skin of our family is what's important to us. Of course, we've been called to faith and to salvation and been added to the Lord's church, and we need to have that affection and that concern one for another in the Lord's church as we love ourselves. I mean, that's what we're called into. But don't ever think that your situation is worse than anybody else's. Because I guarantee you, there's somebody else that's got it 10 times worse than us. And the thing is the Lord knows every issue. The Lord Jesus experienced every issue. Now, we may not believe that, but it's so. And that's the reason that he is able to succor us, as the scripture says. He is able to comfort us. He is able to help us. He is a high priest that knows what it's like to be a man. He's without sin. But the scripture says he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And so there's some people that really like to wallow in their grief and wallow in their heartache and wallow in their inability. I understand we can get down, we can get depressed, but man, as the children of God, we need to look to the Lord. We need to look to the Lord for help. And if life is affecting our joy in the Lord, then we need to go to the Lord to help us that we have our joy restored, we be helped, all right? And that we might be a witness. What we believe is put to the test when we're in trial, not when things are great, but when we're in trial, when we're in difficulty. That's when it proves, it shows what we believe, not when things are going good. And may the Lord help us that we understand that and are helped by it. All of Satan's thinking is bent towards nothing other than defeating God and tempting mankind to sin. He thinks about it and pursues it every moment of every day and night. You know, Satan never sleeps. He is an angelic being that originated sin. He doesn't have to sleep. You and I, we have to. After about so long without sleep, not right now, don't give in to that turkey, but after so long without sleep, we'll die. A brother that I know of was having sleep trouble, and the doctor told him, he said, you got to have 4 hours a day of sleep, 4 hours a day just to maintain life. You start getting less than 4 hours of sleep, things will start falling apart, and life, your body will start not liking you real, real bad. And so we need sleep, but Satan never sleeps. He's always busy, always working his wickedness. And so we need to be equipped with this armor. Back in Ephesians 6:12, it tells us here one reason that we need to do it is that Satan is there. The Lord desires us to stand, and he knows the devil is wily and desirous men, women, boys, and girls to fall and pursue sin. And so that's a reason that we need this armor. It's a spiritual warfare and spiritual battles. In verse number 12, he says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Here in this verse, we see that we don't wrestle people physically, but that our wrestling is spiritual and against wickedness. Our battles, number two, our battles are not against men and governments, but rather against sin, wickedness, and the spirits that work in such. If the government is following along with what's right and righteous and moral according to the Word of God, we have no quarrel with that, do we? That's the way it's supposed to be, right? That's the way it's supposed to be. But then, and in our country, we have this ability to participate in our government, and we do need to speak to those things that are wicked and wrong. We do need to do so. And we've been given that privilege by the Lord to do so. Remember that we're the Lord's children. We're to stand as a beacon of light, of salvation, righteousness, and truth in a wicked, dark, and sinful world. And the Lord has provided this armor that we may do so. Take the armor and put it on. Verse number 13, because of this, he says, because of these things in verse 12, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Verse 10, take this whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. Here's the reason why. Verse number 13, because of that, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Put it on. Verse 11 said, put it on. Verse 13 says, take it unto. We're to take this armor provided by the Lord and put it on. He's provided it. It's free. You don't have to go get sized for it. You don't have to make an appointment to get fitted for it, and then they make it, and then you go back and get it. Right? But it's there. It's there in the Word of God, isn't it? It's there. He says, take it unto. We're to take this armor and put it on. He knows we need it, and He's freely provided it for us. We as His children should obey Him and take it all and put it all on. All of it. May God help us in that. Verse number 13, it says, wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God, again, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Says in Matthew, right? Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. A lot of different aspects and directions that our love goes. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, I'm thinking that the greatest meaning in that passage is that our love towards the Lord is subject to wax cold. Because see, what's the scripture tell us in 1 John? If we obey the Lord and keep His commandments, the love of God is manifested in us. But if we by oppression, persecution, tribulation, hardship, sorrow, sickness, or sword, we then bail out on God first. That's what happens with many. Bail out on God. Hey, got problems. I've got problems. I got things. I got issues. Bail out on the Lord first. Won't be found meeting with the people of God, meeting with the house of God. Won't be found fellowshipping with the Lord and praying to the Lord. Won't be found fellowshipping with His people. You know, evaluate your life in the last year, 2 years, 3 years. Evaluate, has your spiritual life grown closer to the Lord or farther away from the Lord? Has your spiritual life grown closer to the people of God or farther away from the people of God? Evaluate it. It's serious. It's serious indeed. Because we're called to stand in an evil day. And an evil day, and a wicked day, and a tumultuous day is going to be filled with hardship and grief and warfare and battle. We've got some here that have been on the battlefield. They know what a battlefield is like. And they'll tell you it's not a pleasant place to be. I've been blessed. I've never been there. But that's the reason we need the armor. It's because we're in a battle. And may the Lord help us. Reason number two to take and put on the whole armor of God is to withstand and stand in that evil day. That withstanding is talking about stiff-arming, if you will, wickedness and Satan and that. And I understand we can't fight against Satan and of ourselves. we're commanded to resist him. Resist him steadfast, right? We're to do as the example of the Lord Jesus Christ there in the desert when he was fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, as we mentioned. We can't take Satan on and wrestle with him and whip him, but the Lord said he's given us that which we need to stand. Stand in a wicked and evil day. Satan is wily, and the Lord wants us to stand. Reason number two to take on the whole armor of God is to withstand and stand in the evil day. And I tell you what, we live in it. Amen. Don't look forward to it coming down the road, because we're in it. Our nation has rejected God this year. I mean, flat-faced. See, brothers and sisters, what's happening? Just this whole thing that we've been preaching and about the kingdom, and then the other messages some time ago about judgment and the judgment of God and all that. What's happening, brothers and sisters, is the cloak's just being taken off. See, it's not about men wanting to be disobedient and then they cloak it as just being free or just they're seeking their own way or seeking their own thing. But we're seeing it even with people that claim to be the people of God. The cloak's coming off. And it's just, I hate God, don't want his way. I know the word of God says it, but I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what you say. I don't care what anybody says. It's my life. I want to do my own thing, live my own way, and do what I want to. And they blaspheme the name of God, and they curse him to his face, as we read even this morning that it will be. Trial, temptation to sin, and dealing with sin will come our way as the Lord's children. And the Lord desires us to stand. To stand in him. To be a good witness in light of him and his deliverance from all sin and wickedness. That's what he's done for us. Has he not saved us? Has he not visited us and delivered us? Are we not representatives of Christ, his ambassadors, his witnesses? And we're just passing through this place. We're going to a better place. The world's not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen. Amen. So next time, Lord willing, we'll then begin to take an inventory of this armor. And we'll consider about it and what the Lord has provided for us. But there are reasons for it. And may the Lord help us in that.